Welcome to another Cut Unload Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, recently I attended the town hall because SACA, South Australian Cricket Association, celebrated their 150th year with a book, and the book was written by, well, partly written by this guy called Peter Cornwell, who's a friend of mine, and he wrote heaps of stories. He edited them. He coordinated it. Welcome to the show, Peter Cornwell.
Yeah, thanks, Robert, and g'day, Sean. How you go?
I'm good, Peter. How are you doing?
Good, excellent. Good, thanks. Well, thanks for having me along.
And thank you for being on our show.
Well, Sean, you can have the pleasure of the first question.
Well, Peter, I know Rob was very excited about the actual launch. So before maybe we talk about book, can we talk about the launch? Because the Chappell brothers, who obviously famous cricketers from Adelaide and everyone would know who they are, came to the launch. So how was that?
Yeah, it was an awesome night. There was a whole heap of great cricketing people there, about 300 people in total, including lots of SACA members who had to put in for a ballot to try and get tickets for it. And apparently the tickets were sold out in 5 minutes. So That gives you an idea of how much people wanted to be there. It was just a great night all round. As you said, Ian and Greg Chappell were both there. I was lucky enough that Ian wrote the foreword for the book, which was wonderful of him. He's a South Australian cricketing great, but he's also a sporting great and a legendary sort of person. It was fantastic that he was willing to put his time into doing that, and that's one of the highlights of my doing the book, I have to say. But Wayne Phillips interviewed Ian and Greg Chappell up on the stage, and that was fantastic. Went for about 20 minutes, and Flipper's hilarious, of course. He's a great MC, and he did a great job of that as well. And got some good stories about Ian and Greg and their time in South Australia and plenty of other things to do with their cricket as well. The SACA president, Andrew Sinclair, spoke, and he spoke really well and very passionately about the SACA and Adelaide Oval and pink ball tests at Adelaide Oval, the night tests there have been there, and the future, which looks really bright as well. And there was also a video was shown, about a 10-minute one that Callum Ferguson and Megan Shute hosted, and that was awesome as well. So it was a really good night with a lot of really good people there.
Hi, and also been in the town hall. It was upstairs, and all around on the walls they had like photos that would come up and rotate of all the cricketing stars through the history. That was a fantastic touch. What did you think of that?
Yeah, that was cool. I think the way everything was done was fantastic. There was some old memorabilia there, some bits and pieces of SACA's history, and the frame pictures that were up all around were just different every time you looked up, which was fantastic. And Wayne Phillips was mentioning his 159 he scored in his Test debut, which he usually mentions about 159 times when he hosts a night. He was just talking about that, and he looked over at the pictures, and he was commenting on it, and his own picture came up. So he stopped talking for a couple of minutes so he could all admire it. But it was awesome. It was really nicely done, and it was great. There were lots of great people here. Jason Gillespie was there as the new Redbacks coach, of course, and Alex Carey, Chad Sayers, KG Cunningham, Neil Dancy, Nugget Rees, Les Burdett, Ashley Woodcock, Rod Marsh. There was a whole host of players, current and past, who have made the SACA what it is today.
I was going to say, Peter, like we have such a rich history in South Australia with cricket, and as you mentioned, Adelaide Oval as well, which is world renowned.
Yep.
Must be a real honour to have that position and that opportunity to actually write about the history of the last 150 years. How did that come to be?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, it sort of blew me away a bit. It was something I had as a kid. Actually, I loved cricket. I played cricket and footy. But in those days, you couldn't become a professional sportsman, basically, so you had to have a job. So my ambition was always to become a writer of footy and cricket. So that's sort of what I set out to do, even from as early as grade 7. And when I was in grade 7, Ashley Mallett was Australia's test off-spinner and a bit of a local legend. And he released a book called Rowdy way back then. And I saved up my 30 cents pocket money every week until I had $5.95. And I went and bought this book, Rowdy by Ashley Mallett. And that, because of that, I became an off spinner. But I was always only going to do that for a while because what I wanted to do was write cricket and footy. And so it's amazing that all this time later, I've actually written this book with Ashley Mallett. Ashley's one of the co-authors of the book, and to work with him on this has been fantastic. He became a journalist, which is what I did. So I sort of tried to follow in his footsteps a little bit, it was great to have the opportunity to write it with him. It sort of came about because a few years ago I'd written on footy and cricket for the News, the Sunday Mail and the Advertiser for many years, but I decided to become a freelance writer about 4 years ago, and Sacker offered me work writing for them and writing on the Strikers. And so I was doing that at the time when they were tossing around what they'd do for their 150th anniversary, and they'd seen a book I'd written on Woodville West Torrens Footy Club, which was a collection of stories more than a history of the club, which sort of more of a journalistic approach rather than a historical one, where I picked out great players and great moments and interviewed people and wrote stories on them. So that's how we decided, they decided they'd like to have a book done in a similar vein. And so they asked me to do it, and I thought the only way I could do it in the time I had, which we had less than a year and a half to pull it together, was if I could get other like-minded sort of journalists to help me out, write lots of stories as well, and that's where Ashley Mallett came in. Michael Sexton was another one, Andrew Capel, the Advertiser cricket and footy writer, and Mike Coward, well-known Adelaide journalist. Guys like that have helped out by writing stories on players they knew or played with. And between us, we've sort of come up with a book of lots of different stories. And I think it works well because, like you said, the Adelaide Oval is such an amazing oval. There are so many great photos of it for so long. It's been probably renowned as the most picturesque ground in the world. The great thing about the redevelopment they've done in the past 10 years is that it still is a great cricket ground. It's still got the hill. It's still got the scoreboard that was built in 1911 and so fantastic. It's still got the Moreton Bay fig at the back. It's still got St Peter's Cathedral behind it. It still looks like the most picturesque cricket ground in the world, and that clearly makes the book look okay because it's full of lots of photos of that. So that's how it sort of came about.
Now, Peter, what about along the journey, you wrote many stories yourself. I'd like to know what was the most eye-opening interview or story that you wrote. What was your favourite story? And then on the other side of it, of the other people that wrote, what was your favourite story and what story surprised you the most?
Geez, that's lots of questions all at once. Let me think about that for a minute. The story I enjoyed doing most is, like I said before, the thing I've always loved about Adelaide Oval, the first time I went to a test match there, I just remember it clearly, against New Zealand in 1973-74. Ian and Greg Chappell were both playing. Ian was the captain of the Australian team. Ashley Mallett was playing. It was just a memorable time, and it was wonderful to see it. But the one thing that really captured my imagination right from the start, one of the things, is the scoreboard, which is just iconic, and it's just amazing. Every time a fieldsman fields the ball, there's a light flash immediately, so you know who's fielded it. The way they just keep up with it, and the amount of information that's on a scoreboard that was built well over 100 years ago, is incredible. So one thing I thought I'd do for this book was, rather than just tell about how the story was built and who designed it and all that sort of thing, I decided I'd like to spend a day in the scoreboard with the people who operate it to see how it works, what exactly they do, and what sort of people they are. So I was really delighted that Simon Crompton, who's in charge of the scoreboard, he asked me along to one of the days of the test match last year against India, and I spent the day with them up there, and it was just amazing the way they operated it, how cool it was. I did some of using the levers and switches myself, all the same as it was when it was designed 100 years ago, basically. So that was probably my most enjoyable thing. I was lucky the day that I was up in the scoreboard was the day before India was bowled out for 36. I can't imagine how busy they must have been trying to change all those names over as all those wickets were falling. But it was a great experience, and that's one chapter that a lot of people have said they like.
Peter, how many people work in the scoreboard? Because, again, you're right. It's just a great thing to see. And I remember when they were talking about all the changes they would make to Adelaide Oval, there was a lot of debate about keeping the sort of authentic parts of the ground. But how many people work in there?
Yeah, there's probably, I don't know whether it's less or more than you think, there's 5 for a test match and 4 for a Sheffield Shield game. And they pride themselves on it just being everything running so smoothly that if you look up, you know what's happening, you don't miss anything. And even the operation between innings, when a team declares or is bowled out, there's 10 minutes between innings. They've got a thing where they just absolutely have to have everything ready and up and running and so that you don't miss anything. And so they're pretty flat out. It's the big nameplates are big, heavy metal things that they have to carry between floors. It's actually 5 floors high, the scoreboard. And on a hot day, those plates would be incredibly hot to carry about. So they really get to work doing it. But it was great to be involved in and see how it was done.
Now, Peter, what's the process on writing a book like that from go to woe? I mean, tell us the journey in regards to once you got the project, how did you go about coordinating people? How did you go about the getting it together and the printing process? How was that journey?
Well, it just sort of it grows as it happens. I think when we started and we knew the time constraints, we probably didn't expect it would end up being quite as big as it is. It's about 420 pages. It's a coffee table book. It's got 400 odd photos and probably, I think, more than 150 stories. I didn't expect it would be that big, but once you start doing it, you make a list of all the stories you want to cover, all the players you think should have something written about them, all the great games that should have something written about them. It becomes quite a long list. So I was lucky enough to get some really good people on board. Michael Sexton was the first one, a former ABC and Channel 9 award-winning journalist, and he just cracked to writing stories. Ashley Mallett the same. Andrew Capel did a lot of the stuff of the more recent players. And just as we went, we realised we needed to cover more players, more events, and we kept doing it as much as we can, as we could, within the time limit. So it just sort of grew as it went. Finding photos wasn't really difficult because there are lots of historical ones that are amazing. The Sacker had quite a lot of photos in their collection. Just some of the photos, as you go along, you just don't know what you're going to find. We came across an amazing photo of the body line test of the crowd in the outer, where it's really close up. It was actually taken using a glass plate negative, which means every person you can see in the photo, we've run it across 2 pages, and if you blew up the photo, you can keep blowing it up, and you could see everyone in the crowd close up. Exactly. If your great-grandfather was at this game, you'd be able to pick him out from this photo. It's just amazing. So as we went, we just collected stuff, pulled it together. People came up with stories they thought would be worthwhile. Ashley wrote a few stories about things I didn't really know much about, and we just kept going from there. And as it kept building, I think we got more excited, realised that it could be quite a good product. And eventually we pulled it all together and we were very pleased it came out in time so I was actually ready for the launch. But you mentioned the printing. First of all, before the printing, we had the book designed by AdLab, which is another South Australian company, which is at Norwood, and they did a fabulous job of designing it and laying it out. It looks really nice, and it's printed by New Style Printing, which is at Mile End. So it was basically done by South Australians about South Australia, and they did a wonderful job of printing it and managing to hold together a pretty huge book. It does look lovely.
It's a beautiful looking book. I'm just looking on the Sacker website, and they've got a big picture there. And so that picture there of the sunset and the stand, yeah, etc., and the green of the oval really does look beautiful.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It was beautiful before, but now for night test matches, which is one of the big things that's happened in the past 10 years at Adelaide Oval, obviously, it's just an absolute treat. And there are magnificent photos across the inside back 2 pages. We've got an amazing aerial view taken from a helicopter of Adelaide Oval for the first Ashes day-night test, and it looks stunning. So those sorts of things certainly help, but it is a magnificent oval. There's no question about that, and it's definitely celebrated in this book.
Peter, just to finish up, what was probably, you've been around sport for a long, long time. Was there a story that came out that you weren't aware of that was a sort of surprising or unusual one?
Oh, geez, that's a good question, isn't it? I think there's quite a few surprising and different stories. I just think once you meet people and talk with them, and this, you know, we've actually ended up with 11 different riders, so we've got a perfect cricket team's worth of riders. I think just when you interview people and talk to them about things, you're always surprised. There's always surprising things about how what they've had to overcome to play Test cricket or to play top level cricket. I just think there's some beautiful stories out there. There's a couple of them that were written by Mike Coward. Lovely stories, tributes to David Hookes and also to Neil Hawke. And Neil Hawke's story is just amazing. What he did to survive as long as he did with such a serious illness and become the and continue to be the man he was, it's just so inspirational. One thing I'm pleased of in the book, there's a few things, but one of them also is I think we pay a nice tribute to David Hookes and his life, his legacy, and talking about the funeral of Adelaide Oval. I mean, Adelaide Oval has had some great events, but there's also been some really sad ones, and the funeral, obviously, with 10,000 people there was certainly one of those. It was an amazingly emotional day. I'd like to think we've done a good job of covering that.
And just to finish off with, Peter, because we're running out of time, where can people get the book from and what's the cost of it?
Yeah, it's available from the SACA. It's $80 for SACA members and $100 for everyone else. So they're looking after their members, and there's 25,000 of them, I think. So that's not so that's a good thing. But, yeah, you have to get it from the SACA. So if you look on the SACA website or give them a ring or we'll go down. There's one thing I did want to mention was also the book covers very strongly the rise of women's cricket, which has been one of the fantastic things of the past decade or so as well. And we've got we have stories on Megan Shute, Amanda Jade Wellington, and players from way back, Lynn Fulston and Karen Rolton, Joanne Broadbent, Andrea McCauley, people like that. And we pay tribute to Faith Thomas, who was the first Indigenous woman to play any sport for Australia way back in 1958. And there's been a lot of talk recently about having a statue of a woman cricketer at a ground somewhere, and I think there should be one of Faith Thomas is what I think.
Well, look, Peter, you're really interesting. We're going to have to get you on the show again. So into another Carlin Lowe Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.